Tattva Darshan, June 10th, 2010. I was just thinking how wonderful it is that you devotees come here to Radhakund on Sunday, which is your day off from work, and there's so much fatigue and anxiety from working all week, and children in school, and children's problems, family problems. Generally, people on Sunday want to recline, rest, sleep till 12 o'clock in the afternoon, get up, go to the club, go to the mall, watch a football game on television, have a big feast, meet with some friends, just pass the time, so-called relaxing. But you left your homes early in the morning so you could be here by 8 o'clock in the morning, take bath in Radhakund, do Prakrama of Govardhan, and hear some Hari Katha. It's a very wonderful example you're giving by sacrificing your only day free to come to the Holy Dham, performing Tirtha Yatra, Giriraj Prakrama, Tirtha Snan, Prakrama, Radhakund Snan, then hearing Bhagavatam or hearing some Hari Katha. This is the most purifying and powerful activity, and Krishna will certainly reward you for your endeavor and your surrender. Bhava Grahi Janardhan, Krishna wants to see the bhava, the mood and feeling of surrender and feelings of the heart reaching out for him, searching for him, hoping to attain him. The end of the second canto of Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, he glorifies the process of hearing. So we want to speak something about hearing, about Krishna. In the last two verses of the chapter, second chapter, canto 2, verse 36, Shukamuni says to Parikshit, Tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvadha shrotavya kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan rinam. He says, O King Parikshit, the Lord Hari, the Lord of all souls, Sarva Atmana, Sarvatra, Sarvada, Shrotav. One should always, wherever, everywhere and anywhere, one should always hear about him. Kirtavya, Kirtan, Shravanam, Smaranam, Kirtan and Smaranam. The Nrinam, the human being should spend his time wherever he is, should spend his time hearing, chanting, and remembering the Lord. Of course, this is the perfection of life. But especially this verse and next verse emphasize the process of hearing Hari Katha. And this is the foundation and beginning of bhakti leading to prema. Shravana Dasha, hearing from Guru and Vaishnavas. And next verse, he says, the translation of this verse, Prabhupada says, O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead. When? Always. Where? Everywhere. Sri Krishna is the master of all time and all space. Therefore, Krishna's holy names should be heard and chanted and remembered everywhere in the world. This will bring peace and prosperity, which the people of the world so anxiously desire. next verse, verse 37. Pibantiye bhagavata atmana satam katamritam shravana puteshu sambritam punantite vishaya pidushitashayam vrajanti tacharana saroruhantikam. Atmasatam, Bhagavat Atmana. Pivanti, those who drink. Very interesting idea. Often Shukha Muni uses this word talking about Bhagavat Katha or Krishna Katha, Hari Katha. He says pivanti. Drinking. Pivanti means drink. Drinking is usually done with the mouth, the throat, and the tongue. But whenever Shukha Muni uses the word pibanti, he's talking about the karna, the ears, shravana, hearing, drinking with the cups of the ears, licking with the tongues of the ears, swallowing with the throats of the ears. Bhagavat Satam, those truthful devotees, they katamritam, Bhagavat Atmana Satam Katamritam Shravana Puteshu Sambritam. Shravana Puteshu means they fill their ear holes with Amrit, Kata Amrit Shravan, with nectar. So the messages, Krishna Kata, Hari Kata, is actually Ras. Ras is liquid, Rasoham Apsukonteya. Pravasmi Shashi Surayo. Krishna says in Gita, I am the rasa of water. I am the taste of water. The topics of Krishna, descriptions of Krishna's name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, and his Bhagavatas, the Charitra, Bhagavata Charita, the life and character and teachings of Sri Krishna's pure devotees are very nectarine. They are like nectar, something you can drink. And amrit is something which rejuvenates a sick person, rebuilds him, restores him, and extends his life. Amrit, amritya, amrityu. Death goes far away. Mrityu, mrityuloka. One leaves the planet of mrityuloka. One escapes the clutches of death and the jaws of destruction by always hearing Bhagavat Katha, Hari Katha. Satam Katam Ritam Shravana Puteshu Sambritam. Sambritam means Shravana Puteshu Sambritam. Their Puteshu, the ear holes of the Satams, the devotees are Sambritam, completely saturated, totally filled up to the brim with katamritam shravan, hearing the nectar topics about Bhagavan. And this hearing is actually drinking, because when you drink ras, liquor or whiskey, madira is also madira. Wine is also called ras. And when one drinks madira or wine, he becomes mada. Intoxicated, mad, crazy, becomes high by drinking of that liquid. So by drinking this liquid sound vibration of pure rasa katamritam, hari katamritam, one becomes not only restored and rejuvenated and escapes the clutches of death and lives forever, but he becomes intoxicated. He becomes mad in divine ecstasy, exhibiting various sattvic bhavas, like Srivas Thakur, when he sat in Koladweep and the assembly of Devananda Pandit. Although Devananda Pandit was a Brahmavadi, a jnani, speaking the Bhagavatam, he had no devotion or bhakti, but the subject he was speaking is a rasa-filled rasa-grant, grantaraj shimad bhagavatam aki jai. This was milk touched by the lips of a serpent, this wonderful milk-like nectarine burfi of the Bhagavatam, is being spoken by this dry, non-devotional jnani, Devananda Pandit, still, while sitting in that assembly, and pibanti bhagavata atmana satam, pibanti katamritam shravanaputeshu sambritam, Srivas Thakur was puteshu sambritam. He was completely filling his ear holes and saturating his heart with this pibanti katamritam, bhagavat katamritam. He was drinking deeply this bhagavat kata, and that nectar was intoxicating his mind and filling his heart with transcendental bliss. So he started experiencing sattvic vikars, transformations, due to the perturbation of his heart. His hair stood on end, his voice choked up. He started shivering and perspiring and crying out, "Oh, Bhagavan, ha hari, ha hari, ha Bhagavan." And the foolish, offensive disciples of Devananda Pandit, they ejected forcibly this Premi Bhakta, Srivas Thakur, from that Bhagavat Mandal. And of course, that was a great offense on their part, and also their guru, Devananda Pandit. So this is the beautiful message of Godhead, that anyone who drinks through oral reception, those who drink through oral reception means they listen with their ears, fully filled with the nectarine messages of Lord Krishna, Bhagavat Katamritam, the beloved of the devotees, the Atmana Satam, Bhagavata Atmana Satam, he's the Atma of the Satams, the very soul, the very Paramatma, the very soul of the devotees, the Satams, the truthful, eternally situated devotees. Their very Atma is not Chaturbhuj Narayan, but is their Ishtadev, who has been installed in their hearts by hearing the Bhagavatam. They have installed Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Krishna's too, Bhagavan Swayam, Indrari Vyakam Le, Mridiyanti Yuge Yuge. He's a very beloved, the Atma. Nothing's more dear to us than our soul. And the soul of our souls, the heart of our hearts, is the Paramatma, Antaryami Bhagavan. In this case, Sri Krishna. He's the beloved of the devotees, Atmana Satam. And those who do this, Pibanti, Bhagavata Katamritam, Shravanaputeshu, those who hear this wonderful nectarine messages of Godhead in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Gita and other rasa granths, they purify the pollution of their minds. Punanti. Punanti means purify. Vishaya. Vidushita ashayam. Ashayam means the pollution, the polluted aim of material enjoyment. This is the result. When you take this nectar, it removes the disease. Just like you take nectar, you take some rasayana medicine. In Ayurveda, they have rasayana medicine. And when you swallow those tablets or take those powders of rasayana, then it removes the contamination of the body, the disease, the rogue, the vyadi, restores the natural health and vibrance and energy and strength of the physical body. So this is the purification of the pollution of disease which infects and contaminates the body from time to time by taking rasayana medicine. So similarly, most people are polluted by kamavasana. Most everyone's living on the manoratena, moving and acting on the chariot of the mind. And the mind is simply a facility for kamavasana, expressing various desires, vasana, expressing an organ or facility. The mind is a machine for expressing various lusty desires, kamavasana. And they take the shape of sankalpa and vikalpa. We accept something which is pleasing and gratifying to our senses. And vikalpa, we reject another thing which is distasteful or unattractive or unappealing or satisfying to our material senses. So this is mind pollution, malman, dirty mind. So it requires punanti, purification. And what happens after one is purified? And one is free from this material enjoyment, this I-centered consciousness, and develops Krishna-centered consciousness, everything for the center, all for Krishna, full dedication, surrender, service, and love. Then he goes somewhere, Brajanti tachcharna saroru ahantikam. Saroruha means lotus. Charna saroru, lotus, and antika means the tips. The tips means the toenails, the tips of the petals, the pinkish, the lotus flower. It may be light, it's a little reddish on the tips. The tips of the petals are slightly reddish. Saroruha antikam. Antika means the end or the tip of the lotus, which means the tip of the petals. And it's a little more reddish in color than the other lighter pink color of the petals. And this is the very attractive color of Krishna's beautiful lotus feet. And one will attain these lotus feet, which means, there's another way, it's a parokshavad, it's an indirect and beautiful way of saying, if you attain the lotus feet of Krishna, or the tips of the toes of Krishna, the shining, beautiful, ruby-like toenails of the Lord, then you have to go, to attain those feet, you have to be where he is, and he is in Goloka Vrindavan. So therefore, the translation is one becomes free from pollution, vishayi sangraha, enjoying the sense gratification, limited, mundane, material body. And he leaves this material world and he goes back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Krishna. Pibantiye bhagavata atmana satam katamritam shravana puteshu sambritam punantite vishaya vidushitashayam prajanti tacharana saroru hantikam. Those who drink through their ears Harikata, which is filled with the ambrosial pastimes of Radha and Krishna Yugal, who are the life and soul of the devotees. Such fortunate souls purify the polluted aim of life, known as material enjoyment, and very soon they attain the lotus feet of the divine couple, Radha Govinda Yugal, in the sweet forest and bowers of Brajadam. Because this word, Brajanti Tachcharna Saroru Hantikam, also appears in Bhagavad Gita, 18:65. Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja ham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshaye shami masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall purify you and remove all your sins. Do not fear, and you will very soon come to me. Abandon all varieties of religion or different spiritual paths, and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not worry or fear. Mame kam sharanam braja. Braja means to go or to move. Mam ekam sharanam. Me, Krishna, I should be your eka sharanam, your one shelter and no other shelter. And where will you find me? You'll find me in Braj, in Brajadam. You'll find me in my fullest expression. Rasaraj Sri Krishna, the emporium of loving rasas. This is where I am found in my fullest form of shelter. Mam ekam sharanam braja. So here it's Brajanti. Well, Brajanti touch charana saroru antikam. One will go to the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world. So we want to go to Krishna in Braj, and we will definitely go there if we make Krishna the one and only shelter in our life and no other shelter. Always depend on the Lord as our protector and maintainer, and always serve Him with great love and devotion at all times and all circumstances. Shukadeva Goswami is explaining that just by hearing about and glorifying Krishna, one becomes purified. Even if he doesn't undergo the rigorous activities of renunciation or yoga. And the verse is even saying just by hearing, Shukadeva is guaranteeing and promising, giving his word that one will go back to Godhead. Hearing Krishna Katha, which means words describing Krishna, or Krishna's own words, personal words, Uddhava Gita, Bhagavad Gita, etc. They remove one's deepest fears. In the purports of these verses, Prabhupada emphasizes the importance about hearing about Krishna, even while practicing the other important and powerful limbs of bhakti. Prabhupada mentions, quote, of all the 9 different limbs of bhakti, shravanam is the most important function in the practice of bhakti yoga. If one does not sufficiently and properly hear, no one can make progress by any of the methods of practice. Hearing about Krishna is solidified by the process of chanting. So they work synergistically or complementary, shravanam kirtanam. We chant, we only chant and don't hear, then our chanting will lack ras. If we only read the rasa granth, grantharaj shrimad bhagavatam, without chanting, then we won't really understand or perceive or receive the fullest taste of that ras because of the impurity of the receptive instrument, our mind and ears and heart. So hearing and chanting work together to help each other. One who has perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced, conviction. This is the most important quality, to be convinced. He becomes convinced that Krishna is everywhere, within and without, and then he becomes very enthusiastic to glorify the Lord. When one sufficiently hears the Bhagavatam, there is some result, cause and effect. Judge a thing by its results, phalam parichiyate. You take this medicine, it will relieve your body aches and reduce your fever and destroy the infectious germ. So you take it for a course of 5 days, twice a day, and you see, oh, my muscle pains are going away, my fever is left, and then this infection of flu has gone, and I feel good again. The Bhagavatam is a medicine, oshadi. So what happens? If we sufficient hearing, means we have not just 1 hour a year or 1 hour a week, but nityam bhagavata sevaya, then we will see a result. And if the result is not happening, if our mind is still polluted and still contaminated with burning, passionate desires to enjoy the senses and body, then we can understand we need more medicine. We're not following the prescription of the doctor, nityam bhagavata sevaya. Maybe other people only have to take a half a dose. A child will break the medicine tablet in half, and that's sufficient for his small body, that powerful medicine. But some big fat person may have to take double dose in order to get the same desired effect of removing the disease and taking away his muscle cramps and pains and taking away the fever. Some people are not so contaminated. their chitta is not so filthy or polluted. Some water is really polluted and some water is partially polluted. There's different degrees. TDS, total dissolved solids. So how much, what is the TDS rating of our mind? TDS rating, total dissolved solids. Is it solid crud? Solid gook and filth and dirt, like black water that takes 10-stage filtration system to purify it? Or maybe it's a running mountain stream with only a few hard minerals in it. Requires a little softening. Whatever the condition, we have to do the appropriate purification method to restore that mind and heart to its pristine, pure, original state of Krishna consciousness. So sufficient hearing of Bhagavatam to remove the pollution of sense enjoyment and lording it over the material world may mean an hour a day for some devotees. But for other devotees, maybe the sufficient hearing they need to take double dose, 2 hours or 3 hours a day. But definitely, without a doubt, this is the medicine to purify the polluted aim of life. We have to take the dosage. And Prabhupada explains here that it is the promise of Shukadeva that if someone hears the Bhagavatam, he will go reach the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and then be able to serve, render transcendental loving service in the spiritual planet Goloka Vrindavan, which resembles a huge lotus flower. Goloka Vrindavan ki jai. Hearing from Krishna or about Krishna, what happens? Well, Nam Rup Gun Leela Parishishta Shravana Sangha, Krishna Shravana Sangha, Harikata Krishna Sangha. By hearing Harikata, one gets the direct association of Krishna. He's there. He is his kata. He is his name. He is his holy name, his kata. When topics about Krishna, when we hear about Krishna or hear from Krishna's direct words, we get the sweet taste of Krishna's association. This gives real pleasure to the senses. That is why Krishna is known as Govinda. Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Govinda Govinda. Govinda Govinda Bolo Hari Gopala Bolo. Govinda Bolo Hari Gopala Bolo. Govinda Bolo Hari Gopala Bolo. Radha Govinda Devaki Jai. Shri Radha Govinda Devaki Jai. Shri Rupa Goswami Pada Ki Jai. Govinda Ji Ki Jai. So Krishna is called Govinda because his words, his teachings, his instructions, everything connected with Krishna Govinda. What does it do when one hears or contacts Krishna's words or his teachings or his instructions? His senses become enlivened. They become satisfied and blissful. And this is the meaning of Govinda. Go, senses, Vinda, to enliven, to fill with joy and bliss. Whatever Govinda teaches from the transcendental platform, his instructions are transcendental, absolute, and non-different from him. Hearing from Krishna or anyone describing Krishna, like Kapila or Shukadev or Gurudev, is very pleasing to the senses. As Prabhupada said, we can read the Bhagavad Gita. There's 18 chapters. You can read it 18 times in succession, over and over and over. But each time one will receive great pleasure. In fact, the more one reads the Bhagavad Gita, the more he gets an appetite to read and understand it. And each time he associates with the Gita or Sri Krishna and Arjuna by reading Gita, then he gets newer and newer enlightenment. This is the ever-fresh anurag, anurag kata, ever-fresh and new aspect of transcendental messages. And that same happiness one derives from reading Gita is also found in the Bhagavatam. In other words, the more we hear and chant about the glories of Sri Krishna, the more we become happy. The piece formally is Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, verse 29, Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantam Richati Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Accept and believe and follow and teach and act that Krishna is the controller and owner of everything and the enjoyer, and everything should be engaged in his service. This will give one peace. But everyone wants usually two things in life. If they could have both of these things, any human being would consider himself most fortunate, most wealthy man, if someone could be happy and peaceful. Happiness comes from hearing about Krishna. Peace comes from following the Gita. Chapter 5, verse 29, the peace formally, the formally for peace, to surrender to the control of the Lord, to surrender our dependence to the independent Lord who owns everything, who is the enjoyer of everything, and who is the friend, our dearest friend. Surrender to our best friend and we'll always be peaceful in association with our best friend, Sri Krishna. Now we can be happy by hearing about that friend, hearing his words and hearing words describing his activities, hearing words describing his Naam Mahima, the glories of his name, and Guna and Rupa Mahima, the glories of his sweet, beautiful, transcendental qualities and form, and his Leela Madhurya Mahima, the Adbhuta Mahima, the amazing, astonishing glories of his transcendental pastimes in Brajadam. This is the way to find happiness. Follow Gita, become peaceful, and always hear about Krishna from Bhagavatam, Krishna book, and Gita, and become happy. So these are the combined formulas, the combined formula for peace and happiness. To follow Krishna's teachings in Gita, to be peaceful, and surrender, and to always, day after day, pibanti, pibanti bhagavat katamritam, puteshu, sambritam, always drink, fill the ears up to the brim, hour after hour, day after day, minute after minute, continually, pibanti, 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 drink, drink, drink deeply from the ocean of nectar known as the Bhagavat Puran. Another nice verse in the about hearing, power of hearing, in the fourth canto, Prithu Maharaj Shiksha, chapter 20, verse 24. Prithu Maharaj said in glorification of Lord Vishnu, he said, Nakamaye nata tarapyaham kuchin. Nayatra yushmach charan ambujasava mahattamanta ridayan mukachuto vidatswakarna yutam eshame vara. O my dear Lord Vishnu, I do not wish to have the benediction of merging into your existence, a benediction in which there is no existence of the nectarine beverage of your lotus feet. I want the benediction of at least 1 million ears. Vidatsva karna ayutam. Vidatsva. Vidatsva karna ayutam. bara. This is the benediction I want. 1 million years at least. And then I may be able to hear about the glories of your lotus feet from the mouths of your pure devotees. Very beautiful prayer. Definitely wants to hear about Krishna, the asava, charan ambuja asava. He explains, he says, Priti Maharaj is saying, Nakamaye Nath, oh my Nath, oh Vaikunthanath. Nakamaye Vaikunthanath, oh my master, oh Lord of Vaikuntha, Vaikunthanath. I simply want Charana Ambuja Asava. Mahatma, the Mahatmas. Antaridaya, Antaridayat Mukha. Antaridayat Mahatama. It says Mahatamantar Ridya Mukha Chuto. He says, he's saying that these great devotees, these Mahatmas, these pure devotees, Shuddha Bhaktas, Premi Bhaktas, how do they speak about you? It is not lip deep. It is antaridiyan. Antaridiyan. They antaridhi. Not even, they don't even speak from the heart. Sometimes people say, oh, tell me seriously, tell me truly, how do you feel about me? Speak from your heart. Don't just give me a social reply or some cordial reply, friendly reply to make me feel good. Speak truthfully. Tell me from your heart. Speak from your heart. We often use this phrase in our social intercourse, speaking with one another in friendly or family situations, or friend to friend, husbands to wives, etc. But here, Priti Maharaj, he's saying there's something, some speciality of the Mahatmas. The Mahatamantara, the Mahatmas, Antaridya, they speak not only from their heart, but from the core of their heart, from the very essence, the very core of their beings, from their heart of hearts. Atma Atmana, Atma Atmana. Mukachato. This is their mouth is connected. Their mouth is connected to the very core of their hearts. Mukha. Antaridayan. Their mouth go, when they speak, the words that fall out of their mouths and float out of their mouths and pour out of their mouths are coming directly from the source, the Gangotri, the Rasa Gangotri of their hearts, the core of their hearts, the very center, the source of the Ganga's Gangotri, high in the Himalayan mountains, deep in the recesses of the Himalayas. And there's Yamunotri, deep in the recesses of the Himalayas. So deep in the recesses of the hearts of the Mahatmas and Premi Bhaktas of Krishna, deep at the source, at the very source center, there is the Gangotri of Harikatha. The core of their hearts is pouring forth a rushing, raging river of the sweetest, purifying, most powerful nectar. And this is what he wants to fill his ears with. And he doesn't want two ears or one pair of ears as one ordinary human being or one king Prithu. Vidatsva karna ayutam. My Lord, oh Nath, you are the Lord, you are Vaikunthanath. Nakamaye, I don't want anything. Any Kaivalya Mukti or any of these things. I simply want ears. Please give me ears, thousands, millions of ears. So Pibanti, Bhagavat Katamritam, Puteshu, Sambritam. I can drink to the fullest extent, fill my ears completely with this sweet Harikatha. And how is Prithu Maharaj describing Katha? He's not calling it Amritam. He's calling it Asava. Asava. He's saying that it's Yushmach, Charna Ambuja, Asava. What is this Asava? A translation is beverage, the nectarian beverage. Actually, Asava is wine. Is in the Ayurvedic system, they have Draksh Asava and Dasamul Asava. and Kumari Asava, and Saraswat Asava. And Asava is a process in the production of Ayurvedic medicines where they make a tonic with some water and some different fruits and herbs mixed together, and they ferment, which makes when water and sugar and herbs and fruits, drakshasava, draksha means grapes. So these grape juice and different herbs or medicinal herbs are mixed together with water and allowed to ferment in clay pots in a dark room, and they produce gases, and this gas of fermentation turns into alcohol. Not like whiskey or some gin or vodka, not so powerful, knock your head off, alcohol, very mild wine, Ayurvedic wines, medicinal wines. They're called asava. Preeti Maharaj is saying that Harikatha is asava. It is a wine. It intoxicates. And I want to get so high and so intoxicated on that beverage, on that wine, the wine-like Madira Katha, Harikatha Madira, the wine of Harikatha, that I want millions of years to drink all of that liquor, all of that asava, of the sweet glories of your transcendental names, forms, qualities, and pastimes, and all about your Bhagavat devotees. That's what I want, my Lord. I don't want liberation. I have no pleasure. I can receive no pleasure in hearing any topic other than the glorious narrations of the nectar of your lotus feet. That nectar emanates from the mouths of saintly persons from deep within their hearts. Antaridya, I beg only for the benediction that you will give me millions of years, karna ayutam, with which I can always hear the sweetness of your pastimes. Well, this is certainly a very beautiful shloka from the Srimad Bhagavatam to glorify the sweetness and intoxicating and inebriating effect of hearing Harikatha. And this, he's a king. He's not a pracharak or a fully surrendered devotee engaged in chanting 5 lakhs a day and Astakali is smart, and he's a king running in the whole world with so many queens and responsibilities, but he only wants to hear Harikatha. Such a beautiful prayer in the fourth canto, chapter 20, verse 24. Nakama ye nata tadapyaham kvachin na yatra yushmach charanam bujasava mahattamanta ridiyan mukachuto vidatsva karnayutam esha mevara. My dear Lord Vaikunthanath, please, I don't want the benediction of merging into your existence. I want the benediction of at least 1 million ears, so I can always hear the sweetness of your pastimes. This verse is an ideal verse to become part of our prayers of our in our sadhana bhajan. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, parasevanam, archanam, vandanam. Vandanam means offering prayers. We can glorify the Lord and offer prayers which are self-composed with choice words, conveying our true feelings and emotions and genuine sincerity. Or more preferably, we can offer the standard prayers coming in parampara from the great realized devotees like Preeti Maharaj and the great acharyas in our line like Narottam Das Thakur and Lochan Das Thakur, Govinda Das, Govinda Kaviraj, and of course Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and all the prayers and shlokas of the Bhagavatam. I believe it's described that different great devotees of the Lord, they attain perfection by focusing and emphasizing one particular process a devotional service. Maharaj Parikshit attained perfection in spiritual life and Krishna consciousness by Shravanam, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Shravan. And Shravanam then Kirtanam, Kirtanam speaking or chanting the glories of the Lord, Shukadeva Goswami attained perfection by that. And Smaranam, or always remembering the Lord in all circumstances, and pain or gain or loss or difficulty, is Prahlad Maharaj. And Padasevanam, serving the lotus feet, is Lakshmi Devi. And then there's Archanam, and then Vandanam. Vandanam, offering prayers, is Krishna's uncle, Akrura, offered so many beautiful prayers to Krishna and Balaram on his way to Vrindavan. The process of Archanam, Sri Murti Seva, Archanam or Puja, I believe it was King Prithu attained perfection by this process of Archanam. So he's given a very nice prayer here. Two things are told in this prayer. One is the glory, three things are actually told. One is how glorious Harikatha is and what is the effect of it. It acts like an inebriating, intoxicating asafa, a wine to intoxicate the mind and heart with the highest form of ecstasy one could ever imagine. And second point, he's mentioning that this wine or this intoxicating beverage, it emanates from the deepest core of the hearts of the pure devotees of Krishna and Lord Vishnu. It comes from their heart center, the very core, the source of their hearts. Antaridayan mukha. And out their mouth it pours. As the Ganga begins at Gangotri and goes down the Himalayas and all across the Gangactic plain and ends up in Ganga Sagar in the Indian, on the Bay of Bengal, and after traversing the whole northern continent, northern part of the subcontinent of India. Similarly, the Shuddha Harikatha Asafa, Shuddha Harikatha Asafa, the pure topics of Hari, which are like wine or emanating from the Gangotri of their hearts of the pure devotees, and spreading across the world like the Ganga, and purifying anyone who contacts those wonderful topics. And Vidagdha Madhav, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, has composed a very beautiful verse which very much echoes this prayer of King Prithu in fourth canto. It's also repeated in Antilila. Chaitanya Charitamrita, first chapter, 99th verse. The ecstasy one experiences by chanting the pure name impels him to pray for millions of tongues and ears. And Vidagdha Madhav, Rupa Goswami, is saying, Tunde tanda vini ratim vitanute tunda bali labdaye karna krodha kadambini gata yate karn arbhudebhya spriham Cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyad biramrite krishneti varna dvayi. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. Tandava, tunde. It's the holy name is performing a tandava nirtya, the tandava dance, like Nataraj Shiva, dancing with ulas. Tunde, tunde tandavini, tandavini. At that time, we desire many, many mouths. When the name enters the holes of our ears, we desire many millions of years. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. And this is in the Antilila, this is where this verse is mentioned. The context is that when Rupa Goswami, who was staying with Srila Haridas at Siddhabokul in Jagannath Puri, when Rupa Goswami spoke this verse to Lord Chaitanya and other devotees, Haridas was there. When Haridas heard this verse glorifying the power and attractiveness and all attractive, unlimited attraction of the holy name, he began jumping and dancing ecstatically, laughing and chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. There's a poem, Anuragavali, Anuragavali, by Vishnu Chakravarti Pad. Anurag means intense, ever-fresh attachment and love, and Vali means a series of, or vine of, a vine of intense loving feelings. And he's explaining there, please give me millions of bodies and millions of mouths in each of those bodies. O my Lord, by your mercy, please give me millions of tongues in each one of those mouths. May your millions of transcendental qualities dance on all those tongues. What is the use of a soul that does not have millions of bodies? And what is the use of a body that does not have millions of mouths? And what is the use of a mouth that does not have millions of tongues? And what is the use of a tongue that does not chant your millions of names? O Lord, may I perpetually have hundreds of bodies, and may each body have thousands of mouths. May each mouth have millions of tongues, and may each tongue chant millions of your holy names. O Madhav, wherever and whenever anyone chants your names and pastimes at any time, there may I, with my millions of ears, eternally drink your nectar. May I have millions of ears and millions upon millions of tongues. Then, O my Lord, I will eternally and happily hear and chant your pastimes. May I have millions of ears, millions of eyes, millions of hearts and minds, and millions of tongues, hearing about, seeing, and embracing the ocean of your handsomeness. I will drink its ambrosial sweetness. May I have millions of eyes, ears, noses, tongues, and chests, so that I may continually taste the nectar of your handsomeness, your sweet sound, your sweet fragrance, and your sweet embrace. May I have millions of feet to go to your side. May I have millions of hands to serve you. May I have millions of intelligences to teach that service. O my Lord, please grant me all these boons. Prabhupada explains in a purport to verse 25 of this same discussion of fourth canto, chapter 20, Prithu Maharaj. The transcendental vibration from the mouth of a pure devotee that is so powerful that it can revive the living entity's memory of his eternal relationship with Krishna. In our material existence, under Maya, we have almost forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord. Exactly like a man sleeping very deeply who forgets his duty. What is the source of this power in a pure devotee's voice? this power that a pure devotee has to awaken the sleeping jiva to his real identity and his real eternal relationship. What is that awakening potency? Prabhupada tells. Because a pure devotee is always engaged in serving Krishna and taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, he is always in direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of Krishna. Although, when a pure devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice may resemble the sound of this material sky, but it is different. His voice, the pure devotee's voice, is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of Krishna. As soon as a sleeping living entity hears the powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord. Although, up until that very moment that he hears from the pure devotees, he had forgotten everything. He was asleep in a deep slumber of Maya for millions of births. By hearing from the mouth of a pure devotee, one gradually understands his relationship with Krishna and begins to engage in Krishna's loving service. Then he attains perfection of his human life. Hearing from a pure devotee is therefore so important, such an important means to attain perfection. This is very interesting. Prabhupada's describing in his commentary, fourth canto, chapter 20, verse 25. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukachuto bhavat padam bhoja sudha kananila smritim punar vismrita tatva vartmanam kuyoginam no pitaratya lambare. This is the next verse spoken by Prithu Maharaj in succession from verse 24. This is verse 25. My dear Lord Vaikunthanath, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Uttama shloka, mahat muko. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles, sudakan. Sudakana means particles of nectar. Pada ambojo sudakan. Bhavat padambojo sudakana anila. Anila means soothing. Sudha, sudakan, sudakan. Sudakan means particles of nectar, sudha. Sudakan, anila, soothing. Anila means soothing breeze. So those words are like a soothing breeze filled with the sudakan, the particles of nectar from Vishnu Pada Ambuja or Krishna Pada Ambuja, the lotus feet of Krishna. They're very anila, soothing. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. Tattva Vartma. Tattva means Tattva Vartman. Tattva Vartma means the path of truth. And Vartmanam means person on the path. Tattva Vartmanam means a man walking the path of truth or the line of truth. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. Smritim punara vismita. Again they remember you, my Lord, and vismita, their forgetfulness is destroyed. And they begin walking the path of truth, walking their talk. Tattva Vartmanam. Tattva Vartma means the path of truth, and a pilgrim on the path, or a pilgrim, a journey home, a pilgrim's journey home, is the pilgrim is the Vartmanam. Vartmanam. Tattva Vartmanam. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotees. Thinking about this verse and how Prabhupada translates this phrase, Sudakan. Sudakan, Sudakan Anila. The word Suda means nectar, and Kan means particles. Nectar is generally thought of as something liquid, or ras, amrit, something one drinks. And kana means particles, small drops of, or sprinkles of that nectar, sprinkles of nectar. Ambuja Suda Kan. But somehow, although the word for saffron is keshar or some other Sanskrit words, we don't see saffron there, we see Suda Kan. Suda means nectar particles, particles of nectar. Padambuja, Padambuja Sudakan means particles of nectar from the lotus feet of Vaikunthanath or from Krishna. This is literally, but Prabhupada is giving a Bhaktivedanta translation and Bhaktivedanta purport, which is full of his ecstasies, of his prema drishti. His prema drishti, Srila Prabhupada, he sees the verses of Granthiraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, of this Rasa Granth. He sees the verses through prema drishti, the eyes of pure devotion, of Krishna prema, Radha Govinda Yugal prema. So therefore, like all great premi bhaktas, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Gaudiya premi bhaktas, Srila Prabhupada is realizing and seeing in every single verse of the Bhagavatam the presence of Radha and Krishna. Even acharyas often say that every verse in the Bhagavatam is actually a glorification of Radharani. But as they say, it takes one to know one, it takes a premi bhakta to see prema. It takes a premi bhakta to find Radharani in the verses of the Bhagavatam. So at this juncture in the development of the Bhagavatam, it is the fourth canto, speaking about Prita Maharaj. Prita Maharaj are, of course, great devotees. Prita Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord. But as far as in the gradations of pure bhakti, he would be considered, as far as I know, Prita Maharaj would be considered in the level of a Sakama Bhakta, like Dhruva Maharaj or Karta Muni. When we move up the pyramid of perfection of Shuddha Bhakti, at the top of the pyramid of pure bhakti, we have the Brijvasis. They're the greatest devotees of the Lord. And the greatest of all the Brijvasis, of course, are the gopis, and Srimati Radharani is the best of the gopis. And Madhurya Ras, and then below Madhurya Ras is Vatsalya Ras, then Sakhi Ras, Krishna's gopis, the damsels of Braj, his paramour lovers, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, his parents, Vatsalya Bhav and his friends like Subal and Sridham, Madamangal. So this is the top level of pure devotion. Then we have what is called Prematura Bhakta. This is the next category below the Brijvasis, a very high pure devotion, a very high, pure devotee. This is category is held by Uddhav. He directly lives with Krishna. And of course, he's a messenger to the gopis. And next below Uddhav is the Premapara Bhakta, the Pandavas. They're very intimate friends and relatives of Krishna. And then below the Pandavas, on the scale of the pyramid of pure bhakti, below the Pandavas, a little lesser degree of pure devotion, which is still so exalted and so perfect, we have Bhakta Hanuman, we have Hanuman, who's considered a Premi Bhakta, serving Lord Ram and Dasyaras, Dasyarati Hanuman, beginning of Shuddha Bhakti, in terms of Ras, is actually there with Hanuman. Then below Hanuman, in the pyramid of pure bhakti, we have great devotee Ambarish Maharaj, who is glorified in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam. And he's considered not exactly to be a Premi Bhakta, but a Shuddha Bhakta. He's serving the Lord by all nine limbs of bhakti. Then below Ambarish Maharaj, in the pyramid of gradations of pure bhakti, we have the Jnani or Shanta Bhaktas. And these Jnani Bhaktas or Shanta Bhaktas and Shanta Ras would include Prahlad Maharaj, Bhishma Dev, and Shukadev Goswami. I have the idea that they're Aishwarya Gyan Bhakta. Krishna is perfect, there's no need to serve him. That's why it's called Shanta, there's no direct service. Then below this level, really outside of this, all these devotees are included in the pyramid of pure bhakti. From Prahlad, they generally say that pure bhakti or Shuddha bhakti begins with Prahlad, Bhishma, Shukadev. But then higher than that is Ambarish, and higher is Hanuman, etc. Brihad Bhagavatamritam, of course, explains these topics in detail. But then we have Dhruva Maharaj and Kardama Muni, who are also in the Bhagavatam, fourth canto. And like Prithu Maharaj, I believe, they're what's called Sakama Bhaktas, because they don't actually fit the strict definition of pure bhakti, because their devotion to the Lord, to Vishnu, etc., is mixed with some material desires, or desires for personal profit or self-gain. So Prithu Maharaj, in this verse from the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, he's explaining, he's glorifying the Harikatha, that it's Bhavat Padambhajo Sudha Kana Anila. It's a very soothing breeze, it's Anila, it's like a very soothing dear Shamir. Dear Shamir Kata, this Harikata is Dear Shamir, it's a very gentle, soothing and comforting breeze which is coming. And he compares it to Sudha, Sudhakan, particles of nectar, sprinkles of nectar from the lotus feet of Vishnu. So Kautama Shloka Gunana Vadat Puman Verahiti Bina Pashudnat. However, when Srila Prabhupada translates Prahlad Maharaj's prayer, he sees this Sudhakan as not particles of nectar or some liquid or rust, but he sees it as saffron particles. He says that the pure devotees, from their vibrating and emanating from their Shabda Brahman, the transcendental vibration from their mouths, the Uttama Shloka Mahan, the Uttama Shloka Mahat, Mahatma Mukha, from the mouths of the great Mahatmas or great devotees, the Uttama Shloka, those glorious, wonderful shlokas, praising the Lord with beautiful shlokas, those words and vibrations and verses, they're actually carrying the aroma of the saffron dust of Krishna's feet. Now, taking this point of Prabhupada being a Radha Govinda Premi Bhakta, or moreover even a Manjari or a Sakha, depending on the viewpoint or realization of his followers, he is a Premi Bhakta in Braj Bhav. He's a Brijvasi. He's a gopa or gopi. So he's seeing in this verse, he's not seeing Vaikunthanath. He's not seeing Uttama Shloka Vaikunthanath Vishnu like Ambarish. He's not seeing Lord Narayan like Prithu Maharaj. And thinking of Narayan's lotus feet like Prithu Maharaj who's speaking this beautiful, Prithu Maharaj who's speaking this beautiful verse. But Prabhupada, with his praying dristi, he's seeing Radha Govinda Yugal here. He's seeing, of course, ostensibly or externally, the verse is talking about Vishnu, or the male aspect, the Shaktiman, Bhagavan, the Purusha, the Supreme Purusha, Param Purusha, Lord Narayan. But Prabhupada sees Krishna here, and he sees Krishna, he sees Krishna's feet, and he sees something on Krishna's feet. He doesn't see Sudha Khan, particles of nectar, but he sees Keshar Khan, particles of saffron. That's why Prabhupada translates 4:20:25 as the saffron particles from your lotus feet. So the saffron particles from the lotus feet of Krishna, which are mixed in the words of the Premi Bhaktas who speak the Bhagavatam and who speak Harikatha, those saffron particles are mixed in their Harikatha, mixed in their transcendental vibration emanating from their mouths. And these beautiful particles of saffron, when picked up by the ear holes of a submissive student and surrendered devotee, they have the effect of awakening him from the deepest slumber of ignorance and bringing him to the point of realizing, firstly, I am Krishna's eternal servant, and my only duty is to serve him, and everything else will be accomplished simply by surrendering to and serving Krishna. I don't have to do anything else. Krishna is my maintainer and my protector and my provider and my everything. Then gradually, as one wakes up more and more, he finally realizes who I am. What is my sarup, my siddhadeya? What is my eternal relationship in terms of a specific sthayi bhav, a permanent mellow of loving intimacy with Lord Krishna in ras, in dasya ras, sakya vatsalya madhura ras in Vrindavan? How will I serve the Lord eternally? With what particular spiritual body and what bhavas and ecstasies and what moods of love and submission and dedication? That also becomes revealed by the saffron particles from the feet of Krishna, which are mixed in the transcendental vibrations emanating from the mouth of Sri Guru. But again, back to these saffron particles, Sudha Khan. Where did Krishna get these saffron particles from? Are they the pollen that's fallen from some of the Vaijanti malas hanging around his neck, which are extending below his knees and reaching towards his beautiful ankles? Maybe some of the flower pollen, that makaranda, that flower pollen has sprinkled or dropped off those beautiful lotus flowers in his garland, or kadamba flowers, or bela, or jui, or juti, or rose flowers have dropped off and landed on his feet and collected over there. They're also saffron or yellow, golden yellow in color. The pollen, which is sprinkled in the flower, the center, the whirl of a flower. Could it be sourced from his Vaijanti mala? Or perhaps the pollen is simply blowing in the wind as Krishna walks along the banks of the Yamuna, tending his cows, and the wind wafts over the Yamuna, and the beautiful red, blue, and yellow, and nilotpala, dark blue lotus flowers are swaying in the dear Samir, gentle breeze. And that gentle wind or breeze picks up those particles as it passes over those blooming lotus flowers and carries them across the Yamuna to land on the feet of Krishna as he walks on the Yamuna Tata, on the banks of the Yamuna, or when he brings his cows to the edge of the Yamuna to water his cows, or so they can quench their thirst after grazing the pastures. Perhaps the Sudokan has originated from those lotuses blossoming in the Yamuna. Or perhaps when the boys, the Sakas, are playing together, as they often do on the side of Govardhan or in Bandiravan, all the cows are resting after munching heavily on beautiful green grass and drinking the sweet nectar water of Yamuna. The cows are relaxing and resting under the shade of the vast, huge banyan tree called Bandiravat. And the boys are similarly relaxing and eating their tiffins and then playing some games. And they pick flowers. The Kadamba tree is blossoming. Some boys will climb up the tree and throw down flowers, and other boys will collect them and catch them in baskets. Then they'll all be distributed, and they'll have flower fights and start throwing flowers at each other in a mock pushpa holi. Ho ho holy hey! Ho ho holy hey! Hey Shyam! Holy hey! Hey Gopal! And throw flowers. Hey Dalji! Subal! Start throwing flowers at each other, volleys of flowers being thrown by both hands and bombarding each other with flower bombs. And as the coward boys, Subal throws flowers at Krishna and Krishna throws flowers at Sridham, and back and forth, back and forth. So much of the pollen in those flowers will fly out of the flowers and get shaken loose from those flowers from the force of the throwing from the boys. And that pollen will float in the air and sprinkle Krishna's beautiful dark hair and make it look so beautiful with sprinkles of yellow and gold and highlights here and there in this beautiful dark blue hair. And some of those particles will also land on his feet. It's possible. But no. Prabhupada is translating Sudakan as not as particles or sprinkles of nectar, which would be the ordinary translation. It even says Sudha. And the word for word, Sudha says, means nectar. This is the word for word in the Bhagavatam. Sudha, nectar. Kan, particles. Particles of nectar. Sprinkles of nectar, sprinkles of ras, drops of ras. But then with his rasa mind and heart, rasa-filled mind and heart, braja ras, Gopika Bhav, Prabhupada sees, oh, look, Parambuja, Sudakan. This nectar, these particles, Kan, Kan Kan Bole, Radhe, Radhe, Vrindavan Me, Kan Kan Bole, Sri Radha, Radha, Sri Radha, Radha, Sri Radha, Radha, Vrindavan Me, Kan Kan Bole, very popular Hindi song glorifying Vrindavan in a different Manasa Parikrama, Churasikosh Manasa Parikrama song, traveling around the different places. Vrindavan Me, Kan Kan Bole, Sri Radha, Radha. Vrindavan Me, in Vrindavan, Kan Kan, Kan Kan means particles, little, even the little pebbles, little stones, even the little particles, particles of dirt and braja raj. Little tiny particles, little stones and pebbles here and there, even the tiniest particle, kan kan, bole, bole means chat or sing. What are they singing? Sri Radha Radha, Sri Radha Radha. So here, bhavat parambuja sudha kan anila, sudha kan, the particles of nectar, Prabhupada is seeing them and realizing that they are actually saffron particles. So how did those saffron particles get on the lotus feet of Krishna? Possibly in the ways that I previously mentioned. But Prabhupada is seeing that those saffron particles on the Krishna's feet come from the beautiful, slightly raised, full and very attractive breasts of Srimati Radharani. Because she sprinkles saffron on her top of her breast to convey the intensity of her anurag, or deep love for Krishna, which she holds in her heart, which is sitting just below her breasts. So her golden breasts are covered with this beautiful reddish and yellow and golden particles of saffron or kunkum. And when Krishna sometimes, he rests his feet there, Radharani takes Krishna's feet and holds them gently against her breast. And this is mentioned in the Bhagavatam in 10th canto also, that the gopis are fearing that Krishna's delicate, tender feet may be bruised or wounded when he walks in the footpaths of Vrindavan because he wears no shoes. And there are so many tiny prickles and stickers and thorns and dried seeds from different trees which are very sticky and sharp like needles. And Krishna may, his tender feet, which are softer than the leaf, a new tamal leaf, they're so soft, baby soft feet. They even fear to hold them on their breasts, but they know that Krishna derives great satisfaction by that activity. So time to time, in different intimate settings, Krishna rests his feet on Radharani's beautiful breasts. And at that time, then some of that sudakan, those particles of suda means nectar. What is that suda? What is that nectar? That saffron particles? That nectar is Radha Ras Suda Nidhi. Radha Ras Suda Nidhi. That Suda Nidhi. That is the treasure, Nidhi, treasure, ocean of Suda, of Radha Ras. There's so much Ras. All of Radharani's love and Mahabhav, Madanakya Mahabhav is capsulized and contained in those small Sudakan particles sprinkled on the upper part of her breasts, upper curve of her breasts, which end up on the bottom of Krishna's feet and on the top of Krishna's feet. And this beautiful sudakan, these particles of nectar from Radharani's transcendental divine form, which are saturated and imbued with her ras, her prem ras, her sham ras, her intense Madanakya Mahabhav, intense loving submission, dedication, surrender to the pleasure and happiness and satisfaction of Krishna, they are carried in the words of the pure devotees when they glorify Krishna by speaking Harikatha. So these are some ideas about the power of hearing Harikatha, and especially reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And such a powerful process is Shravanadhasha. This is the beginning and the foundation and even the end of bhakti, is to always hear, chant, remember the sweet glories of Radha and Krishna.